Please turn in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians 2:10 as we're slowly working our way through this epistle of Paul. Last week, Paul was emphasizing, how he had come to them with integrity, and he was wanting them also that they would walk worthy of the call of God, who's calling us into the kingdom of heaven. The world system, the Bible teaches, the world system today, who the movers shakers are as far as the world's concerned, are the world system, the satanic system that deceive people living for the here and now. Pride, arrogance, lust. And that's what the world wants to go after. But we're of a different kingdom. Once we believe and trust in Jesus as our Savior, we're saying, oh, he's king. Now King Jesus is king, and he has a different world. His world system is based on loving him, believing him, living a holy life, turning away from the lust, turning away from the deceptions of Satan, who deceived us into living for pleasures that never satisfied. And we finally admit that to God. There's no true satisfaction, because the only satisfaction comes by being reunited with the Creator who created us. As soon as we get back together with the Creator, we go, whoa. He puts it back inside of us, that relationship that was lost in the Garden of Eden. And then we start to sense him changing us. So this week he's going to continue to praise them for their faith and because of the joy of seeing that they're saved, and exhorts them again in walking with the Lord. In 1 Thessalonians 2:10 through 13, which we covered last week, you are witnesses, and God also, how devoutly and justly and blamelessly we behaved ourselves among you who believe. As you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father does his own children, that you would walk worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. And we ended with that emphasis that when we read this Bible, and let this really sink in. I know a lot of people, they avoid the Bibles. You're reading the words of God. We emphasized this yesterday morning in our breakfast. We're reading the very words of God, penned through human beings, prophets of the Old Testament, apostles of the New Testament, and God was inspiring Paul to bring the message of the gospel to Thessalonica, Philippi, Ephesus, all these places. And what he's telling them is, when I brought it, you took that as being what it really is, the word of God. The word of God is giving me, the apostle Paul, the message of how the new covenant prophesied in the Old Testament, in Psalm 110, and Jeremiah 31, new covenant, new priesthood, Jesus is the priest. All these things that Paul told them, Old Testament prophesied, now here it is. This is a new covenant. This is how we live with God in holiness and let God change us from the inside out. It was the very words of God. And one of the things they noticed about Jesus is that when he would teach, he teaches with authority. He doesn't teach by quoting other rabbis. See, that's what everybody was doing in his day. Well, Rabbi Maimonides said this, and Rabbi so-and-so says you can divorce your wife for any reason, and another rabbi says, no, it's got to be by what Deuteronomy says, and Jesus, what do you say? He just said the truth. He quoted the word of God. He never quoted people. And we should be the same way with people. We should be telling people, instead, oh, get this book on self-help on your family and go there, get this, words of men. Instead, why don't you pick up the Bible? If you don't understand it, then why don't you come together and we'll help you understand. It's a very difficult book to understand. And you can't understand it if you don't read it. And really, to understand it, you got to read it front to back once, just to kind of just fly at 30,000 feet and get it in Genesis to Revelation. And then you can say, oh, okay, now because this is over here and this is here and this is here, it starts to come together, and then you can spend the rest of your life. But this is the word of God. I was talking to a guy. He was telling me how enamored he is with a pastor that just always quotes all these writers and great men of history. And, you know, okay, he goes, he does like one or two verses, but then we just get all this other stuff. Okay. That's not my mission. My mission, although there's a lot of words from Kevin here, but my mission is that you would understand what God's word said, so that when you're on your own and you're reading the word of God, you get the word of God instead of quoting other people, because other people are just people, just like me. But what does it matter what I say, in a sense? What we want to do is know what God's word says. And I say that just to double down on the word of God. To really, truly, reverently look at these scriptures, when you open them up, this is what God is trying to tell us, especially as we're living in the most demonically wicked, deceived world in the history of the world. We are living in a time the world has never seen. And if we don't double down on knowing what God says, we're going to forget what he says while the world is telling us to go live off after the lust of the world and the pleasures of the world, which will kill us. So, now going to verse 14, and we have to remember, for those that are just joining us, Paul had been run out of their town. He came in there, brought the gospel. A lot of people got saved, Gentiles especially, some Jews. But then the unbelieving Jews hated him and ran him out of town before he was done, what he felt like done discipling them. And that's the background for verse 14. For you, brethren, became imitators of the churches of God, which are in Judea, Israel. Because he's in Greece. This church is in Greece. He's talking now about what happened in Jerusalem. God, which are in Judea, in Christ Jesus. For you also suffered. Because after they ran Paul out of town, they started persecuting the people that he had exhorted to become Christians. For you also suffered the same things from your own countrymen, just as they did from the Judeans. Just like the Jews back over in Jerusalem, who were being hated for being Christians, who killed both the Lord Jesus and their own prophets in the Old Testament, and have persecuted us, and they did not please God and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they may be saved. So, as always, to fill up the measure of their sins, but wrath has come upon them to the uttermost. But we, brethren, having been taken away from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored more eagerly to see your face with great desire. Therefore we wanted to come to you, even I, Paul, time and again. But Satan hindered us. For what is our hope, our joy, our crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For you are our glory and joy. So we'll cover those verse by verse going through there, but just good to get the whole view of where we're going and then point it out. And you just see the heart of a man, the apostle Paul, who's just pouring his heart out to these people and being rejoicing in how they're coming to saving faith and sticking with it. So back to 14. Churches of God which are in Judea in Christ, for you also suffered the same things from your own countrymen, just as they did. Just as the apostles and the first Christians in Jerusalem were being hated by and hunted down by the non-believing Jews that had killed Jesus. You know, the non-believers, the Pharisees, the scribes that didn't believe in Jesus as their Jewish Messiah, even though he was prophesied to be the Messiah, he came as all the prophecies said they would. They were saying, no, I don't want this Jesus to mess with my life and my authority and my power in this country among the Jews. And people today, the same thing. They just don't want Jesus to have any authority. And they want to be able to enslave all of you and all of me. And they know that once we believe and trust in Jesus, we become a slave of Jesus. And you know what? When somebody becomes a slave of Jesus, they have one, they have one cry, no king but Jesus. It makes us very hard to be controlled and manipulated and enslaved. And they just don't understand that we're willing to do that all the way to the death. Because you're not going to get me to deny my Jesus. You're not going to mess with me. I'm going to trust and believe in him. If you're going to lie to me, I'm not going to listen to you. And so we become a problem child. We're a fly in the ointment. And they don't like us. And they didn't like them. They didn't. Throughout the world, Satan has been trying for thousands of years to get in control of the entire world and then kill everybody. And we know that his final plan is to create a 10-nation global empire in the last days, which then gives rise to an Antichrist, his boy, in the last days, that he'll personally possess and then try and kill everybody on the world. And they're in the final throes of that plan coming together because he wants to kill us all. He wants to kill everybody that fears God. And, you know, they're not pleased with us, and we ought to just be okay with that. And what Paul is commending them for is, and you're believing. See, they're persecuting you like they persecuted us, and we're so thankful we're hearing now from Timothy that he went and visited you, and you're saying, hey, it's okay. We don't care that they're persecuting us. And then Paul says, oh, he's so excited. You know, I want you to know, persecution is part of the church. Now, somebody ought to write a letter to Joel Osteen and tell him that. And, you know, that the Bible throughout the Bible, following God is not in this world going to be your better life is ahead of you. You can have a better life. It used to be in this country you could be a God-fearing person and have a great life because it was embraced. You know, God was embraced. Jesus was embraced in this country. And you could, oh, I'm a Christian. Oh, man, I wish I would just have a little bit more of a conviction, but I want to party, so I don't want to become a Christian. I had a lot of people tell me that. If I became a Christian, I wouldn't be able to go partying, and so no, forget you. But, you know, it's good for you. But right now, as the persecution is ramping up, we just have to realize, like Paul and like the Thessalonians, it's not going to be easy street. And that's okay, because we have all of eternity to have an easy street, right? After a time of suffering, who killed both the Lord Jesus and their own prophets and have persecuted us, and they do not please God and are contrary to all men. Wow. That'd be pretty bummer to live a life not pleasing God, the God of the creator of the universe, who you're going to stand before someday, forbidding to speak to the Gentiles that they may be saved, so as always to fill up the measure of their sins. But wrath has come upon them to the uttermost. So what is Paul saying? Wrath is coming to them over in Judea. He's talking about over in Judea, the people that killed Jesus, killed James, the brother of John, wanted to kill Peter, but God let him out of jail with angels letting him out of jail. So and he's saying, and they're going to be the wrath of God is going to come upon them to the uttermost. What is he talking about? The Romans. The Romans are going to oppress and oppress and oppress, and they killed Jesus because they wanted to keep the status quo with the Romans and the power sharing between the Pharisees and scribes and the Romans. Well, little did they know that a few years, 30 years later, 40 years later, Jerusalem is destroyed by the Romans. They lost the power struggle. They lost their temple. They lost everything. A lot of people, they want to hold on to their power and they want to hold on to their prestige. But what happens? They die and they lose it all. I don't want to believe in Jesus. I want to stay with my life. Well, your life's going to be lost someday. And then what? You're going to stand before the God you stuck your finger in his eye all your life. Matthew 18, you know, so these people, when they're under the sway of Satan, what does Satan want? He wants to kill everybody. He doesn't want anybody to become a believer in Jesus. And so he is thwarting your desires to share the truth of the gospel of Jesus with anybody that's around you. See, that's what Satan was doing to the scribes and Pharisees. We don't want this message of the new covenant getting out. We don't want people to believe in Jesus and trust him. Because not only do they get out of our control, Satan's concerned that they get into everlasting life. And Satan doesn't want that. So he's going to thwart you in every way that he can to keep that from happening. And this is what Matthew 18 says, as far as the wrath of God, whoever causes one of these little ones, the little children that are coming to him, want to see Jesus, but actually everybody that's wanting to come and see Jesus, it's applying to this. Whoever causes one of these little ones, if you're here today and you have not bowed the knee to Jesus and you come into this church and you say, man, you know, I want to believe in Jesus, and you go home and some friend or some family member or coworker says, don't be one of those nutso Christians, and sways you away, this is the message for them. Who believes in me, to sin, to turn away from the truth. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depths of the sea. Woe to the world because of offenses. Offenses must come, but woe to that man by whom the offense comes. And that's what Paul is saying. These people are truly trying to thwart the gospel from getting out. Jerusalem, here in Greece, and Thessalonica, all these people that have run us out of town, kept us from telling you more about the truth of what God has for your life. But God's wrath is going to come on. And Jesus says it'd be better personally for the person that's deceiving people away to tie a rope around their neck and throw themselves into the ocean. Die now before you have some more blood to answer for into the future. And, you know, some people don't really think about that too much. We need to help them. But Paul preached anyway. He preached even though he was thwarted, run out of town. He's still caring. Who is the church forbidden to speak to today? Have you ever thought about that? Are we being thwarted in trying to spread the message of the gospel of Jesus today? How many of you have tried to put a track or a bumper sticker or a verse up on your cube or whatever, wherever you're working, you know? And you can't. Have a teacher today. Try and tell anywhere the millions, tens of millions of children, a Christian teacher that wants to share the love of Jesus with one of her students. What's going to happen? Likely going to lose their job. We used to be able to get into the Hidden Creek Elementary School as Christian and Child Evangelism Fellowship, a Good News Club. Oh, no, COVID, you can't do that. And trying to get them, see, they're shutting down every way. There will not be a single mention of God in the school system curriculum, not even a mention that he exists, not even historical accuracy of what Jesus came to do. It'd be better for them to tell, you know, the federal educational department, everybody else, where the evil has crept in and wants our children to learn, you know, that they don't know whether they're boys or girls, and they can't know, and the parents can't tell them, and doctors now being almost forced that they're trying to pass a law that nobody can put on a birth certificate what they are, because the state is sitting there saying, you don't know what they're going to be. You don't know what they're going to identify as. Yeah, I changed their diaper. I know what they are. Oh, no, you don't. No, you don't know. I was talking to somebody. Anthropologists, archaeologists, 1,000 years from now, they'll dig up somebody and go, oh, DNA. It's a girl. It was a female. You can't say that. You don't know how they identified 1,000 years ago. Are we going crazy? I mean, absolutely crazy. And our children are being taught to be crazy. And you know what? A lot of them are listening to what the teachers in the curriculum are saying. And it doesn't matter to them what we're saying, because if you don't listen to the narrative, you're not cool at school. And so they have to dump the truth. They have to dump what they fear about God, because they have to be cool at school, because that's the way teenagers are. I was one. Have to be cool, whatever. Pick your group, what you want to be cool in. And we're losing our children. It'd be better for them to tie a rope around their head and throw themselves in the ocean. But we, brethren, verse 17, having been taken away from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavor more eagerly to see your face with great desire. Paul was not about Zooming. He wanted to do face-to-face worship with Jesus. He just missed him. He didn't want to do letters. He didn't want to get it from Timothy coming back and forth to tell him what was going on. He wanted to see the people that he had birthed into life. And he knew he left this child. And he had to leave this child of the church, the newborn babes. And he goes, I didn't finish the discipleship training with him. And I want to get together with him. Therefore, we wanted to come to you, even I, Paul, time and again, but Satan hindered us. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. But Satan hindered us. Doesn't say exactly how. Wish we did. But can we be sure that it wasn't, he didn't hinder him because Paul was out in the flesh and being immoral and everything, right? That wasn't that, because he's covered that already. See, Satan can hinder us in us sharing the truth and discipling people by, like we've been emphasizing the last 2 weeks, by getting us off in the world. And then he just points his finger at us in front of the other people, and they don't want to listen to us. And so that we don't want him to hinder us that way. That's like just walking into his trap and dying. But Paul was aware that we're in a spiritual battle, and he wrote to the Ephesian church later on this very fact. It is the chapter in the New Testament to really let us understand that we have an enemy who's trying to kill us and deceive us, to get us from sharing the gospel with people. And we like a soldier going into war, we have to wake up, as I emphasized last week, we wake up and we realize there's a war out there. The war is Satan's trying to get me and trying to keep me from being able to be walking with God in holiness and being able to share with people. And so if we know that there's a war, we should arm up. And here's Ephesians 6, tells us how to arm up. By the way, this is another town he was run out of for spreading the gospel. They wanted to kill him. They had a riot in the theater wanting to worship great as Diana of the Ephesians and kill the Christians. And Paul had to be run out of this town after the letter he's writing to the Thessalonians. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. So the Bible is making it very clear here. What we see with our eyes is not the real problem. The people that we're against in government or whatever, making these horrible, wicked laws and all these things are going, you know, just even dealing with the educational system and the curriculum, the evil, wicked people that are writing the curriculum. What's behind all that? What's behind all that is a spiritual world. These people get deceived into worshiping Satan, following him. What God says is good, they want to believe is evil. But it's not them. It's a spiritual wicked. It is them, but it's a spiritual wickedness that has deceived them into a delusion, where they live in a lie when we want to live in the truth. And they actually could probably pass a lie detector test. Do you think it's good to be teaching kids that they don't know what sex they are until they decide on their own? Yeah, absolutely. It's the best way. The world will be such a better place. Everybody's going to be more in love. Families are going to be stronger. There's going to be better places at the workplace. They would pass a lie detector test when exactly the opposite is going to happen. It's going to destroy our country, destroy the family, destroy people, because that's what Satan does, is he wants to destroy everything. So it's like the Travis Scott concert that I talked about last week. There was demonic powers there at that concert. They were deceiving people. They were all worked up in a frenzy, and some of them experienced demonic physical attacks on their bodies that they put into their Twitters and posts and stuff that got censored because the world doesn't want people to understand there's demon powers that are controlling people. Said it's a conspiracy theory. These people were there. They knew what they experienced. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. That's now. And having done all to stand. Do we all want to get to the other end of the battlefield and be standing instead of taken out and wiped out and killed and maimed? I do. We're going to war. We better put on the armor. Like you said last week, the Black Hawk Down. That guy was going out. He didn't know what kind of a battle it was going to be, but he put on his knee pads. He put on his steel plate. Like we mentioned last week, he was ready to go. We need to do the same thing. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. Now I could spend the whole service on this, so I'm going to go quick because people will spend, they've written books on this. My son, he's an Oregon State Patrol, my younger son, well, he's Oregon State Patrol down in Oregon. You know what? Every day he goes out, he knows he could be going to war. And you know what he does? He puts on all his armor. And then one of the things he does is this huge weight belt. This huge belt. It's got his tase people instead of kill people. He's got his kill people gun. He's got all this, his radio, all this stuff, and he puts that on. If I saw him going out to get in his car, truck, actually, because he's Oregon State Patrol Fish and Wildlife, so he's got a truck and stuff, unmarked truck. If he went out and he'd go, "Oh, I'm going to work, Dad," you know, and so, "Oh, why didn't you put the stuff away? Where's your gun? Where's all?" "Oh, it's going to be an easy day today." No, there's no, you don't know. Anyway, every law enforcement officer here, you know, and every law enforcement officer you've ever talked to, they all encourage each other. Today could be the stop. Today could, they emphasize, remember, today could be the stop. The stop where you think it's going to be an easy little pullover because, you know, the brake light is out or whatever, and then the guy comes out and shoots you. That you got to keep mentally aware that it could be, that could be the stop. So, loins girded, you know, loins girded about with truth. So in other words, that belt, the first thing that you need, keep your pants up, keep your stuff that you're sword and everything else, you better have truth. You know, yesterday we emphasized that by going to John chapter 8, verse 31. It's in your notes, but if you don't have them, turn to it. John 8:31. The whole chapter 8 is about John as the apostle that emphasized truth. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word," the word of God, "if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed." You know what a disciple literally means is a follower. You know, people, churches today, the dumbed down, you know, the emerging church, just be a follower of Jesus. They never define what that means. Jesus says, if you want to follow me, then obey what I've said. You know, if you love me, you want to follow me, then obey my commandments. So a lot of people follow Jesus. And he goes, but you're a real follower if you just keep in the truth. When Jesus says, "Unless you eat my body, drink my blood and stuff," it says a lot of disciples left him because it was just too hard for them. There's a lot of people that are churchgoers in the world today. They follow for a while, go to church for a while, then God says something they don't want to hear, and they leave. He says, "You're my disciples indeed if you abide in what he says. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Go to verse 36. "Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." The world wants to enslave us, and you know what they hate? they can't do it because Jesus has set us free. We don't have to be a slave to what they tell us to do. Because we say, "Oh no, I want to do it. I want to do it God's way." You know, the 2.3 or whatever million dollars they fined San Jose Calvary Chapel, Mike McClure. You know, "Don't you know we can control you?" No, actually, Jesus controls the church. Jesus controls me. I signed up to follow him. I signed up to serve him. Us Christians, we want to meet face to face. We want to meet on Sunday. We want to meet on Wednesday. We want to meet whenever God tells us to meet. You don't tell us what to do, especially over a lie. That we're going to, you know, contaminate the world and everybody's going to die. They'll die from Fauci's remdesivir, but it'll get over COVID if they take simple medications, cheap medications that are known to work. And what he told us at the conference, they have every Wednesday, here's another fine. Every Sunday, here's another fine. Here's another Sunday night, another fine. So they wrote him a fine, put it on the door. So they pasted it over all the windows of the church, all the fines. We're going to keep on complying with Jesus instead of the world over something that the world has no authority over. And so, how many of us want to be free? Yeah? Jesus has set us free from sin and death. And we don't have to be a slave to people when they're out of line with, we must obey God rather than man over the things that God has declared power over, which is the church. 3 John. This is John the Apostle saying, "The elder to the beloved Gaius," verse 1, "whom I love in truth, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health as your soul prospers. For I rejoiced greatly when brethren came from Gaius and testified of the truth that is in you. Just as you walk in the truth, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." Does the Bible have an emphasis of truth? He says, hey, some people came and they said, Gaius, that church in your home, the people that you're with, they're hanging on to the truth. What is the truth? Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to the Father except through him. He alone can give everlasting life. It doesn't matter what the other religions. Be bold enough when another person comes and says, yeah, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian Buddhist. I'm a Christian Catholic or whatever. Oh, no, you're either a Catholic or you're a Christian. Because what the Pope says it takes to be saved is completely contrary to what the truth says it takes to be saved. So you can't be both. Well, that offends me. Well, you know what? The truth is offensive. That's why they killed Jesus. That's why they killed Paul. That's why they killed Peter. That's why they killed everybody. The truth offends. And yet we have to, when we go to war, we're not just wanting to take flak. We're wanting to be offensive. And you know what? The only offensive weapon is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, which is the truth. So we sit there and we tell them the truth. No, Jesus said, you must believe in me, as the scriptures say, because if you do, out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water, testifying of the Holy Spirit. If you don't believe him, as the scriptures say, you won't have the Holy Spirit in you, and you'll have no waters of living water. You'll play religion all your life, and then you'll die, and you'll stand before God, and as it says in Matthew, he'll look at you, and he'll say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. But I went to church. I had a gold star. I went to Awanas. I memorized all these scriptures and stuff. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you because you didn't embrace the truth. And that's our message. And we better be ramping it up because I think Jesus is going to take us away and we're not going to have a time to do that anymore. Back to Ephesians 6:14. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. I've shared it before, but I was a total pagan. Went to Chicago when I got stationed in Great Lakes, Illinois, to go to Machinist Made A School. And, a friend of mine and I, we took a train to get into Chicago to see what kind of trouble we could cause. And this lady, sweet lady, gave me a track on the road. We're getting off the train. Okay, what are we going to do? Deepest, darkest part of Chicago. What can we do? And, hey, you boys, you got a place to stay? No. Oh, we got a place here. Do you have a place to eat? No. Oh, we got a place here. Here's a Bible tract. And so she gave us a tract. We went in there. Oh, Christians. But they're good for a place to stay. We don't have to look for a place. And they got a meal. And then, but it was a setup. A total setup. Because after the meal, these two guys, oh, we want to talk to you. We want to talk to you about Jesus. And I was into Edgar Cayce reincarnation at the time. Long story short, I mean, we had a lengthy conversation. I'm just badgering them about how lame Christianity is and stuff and how reincarnation is a better way to think and blah, blah, blah. And they said, well, Kevin, you know, maybe if you believe in it that strong, that maybe there's something to it. they didn't have the truth on that day. And they just didn't want to offend, didn't want me to argue with them anymore. I don't know what they were thinking. I hope I see them in heaven. And you know what Satan did to me that day? See, these people don't even believe what they're saying. It's like, these people are just so after people's money. They don't believe what they're saying. It's just a religion because they wouldn't have said that if they actually believed. Don't do that. What they should have said is, Kevin, no matter how sincere you are, you've been deceived by Edgar Cayce, reincarnation, Hindu philosophies. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die and then you're judged. What you're thinking is you're going to just, you know, go through the treadmill of life, death, and you're going to climb up the ladder till someday you're going to be God because you're going to be just like Jesus. And that's how Jesus got to be Jesus after lots of lifetimes of sinning and stuff. And that's what you're going to be. That you've been deceived by Satan because when you die, you're going to find out there's only one God in this universe and it's not you. And you're not going to be able to ever be good enough to be a good God. And they should have just stuck with it and said, we fear for you. You're going to die in your sins. If you do not believe that Jesus is him, as Jesus said, if you don't believe that I am the Messiah, then you will die in your sins. They should have told me that. And all of us need to tell people that. Tell them the truth. Or we're not armed against the devil. And the devil can thwart us in what we're trying to do. If we're not willing to tell people the truth, he can thwart us to being afraid of telling the truth, so we don't tell the truth, and he then just thwarted us like he thwarted, you know, not in the same way he thwarted Paul. And having shod your feet, verse 15, with the preparation of the gospel of peace. If I saw my son going out with bare feet, what are you doing? You know, I'm going to go out on patrol and without shoes on. What if you have to run? What if you have to run for your life? What if you have to take somebody on that's fighting you and you're just scraping your feet around them? You know, nobody goes into war without sandals. Even the Romans had sandals on to make sure that they could go into a fight. So therefore, don't go into fight if you are not prepared with the gospel of peace. You're ill-equipped. You will be thwarted by Satan because you don't study to show yourself approved. In the very simple gospel, you must believe in Jesus or you die and go to hell. I had somebody that left the church one time because, Kevin, you can't just boil a Bible down to 10 words. What? I said, what? You can't boil it down to 10. What are the 10 words that you have to believe in Jesus or you die and go to hell? And I don't know if that's 10, but, you know, that's what he said. Yeah, that's not going to change because that's what the Bible says. That's the truth. That's the gospel. I've been shot. I got my feet on. I know that's not going to change here. And above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Does Satan hate you if you're going to go into battle for Jesus? Yes. Is he going to throw everything? Is he going to throw everything he can at you? Is he going to tempt you into sin and you're going to fall and then tell you what a horrible Christian you are that couldn't possibly be used by God ever again? Is he going to do that? He's going to do that. And what you want to do is you want to hold the shield of faith. My Jesus died for me. I know I don't deserve heaven, but he's going to give it to me anyway through his grace and mercy. And I want to just serve him and Satan, you know, do your thing. But I'm going to keep telling people about the grace and mercy of God that he can save, you know, like Paul. Satan probably got to him. You killed Stephen, you know, just drop out. And Paul used that accusation against him by Satan to say, I'm going to serve God harder. Because, yes, I did. I killed one of the most amazing Christians in Jerusalem. I was deceived into doing so. And so I'm going to use my past to serve God with more passion. Hebrews 11:5, it says, by faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death. There was one man, Enoch, that after 400 and some years, God, I want to go. Well, we only have 70, 80, whatever years. He had 400 years to get it right. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him for before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Should that be our goal? Our goal should be that you're known, that you are known. She wanted to please God. And when Enoch got to the point where that's all he did, God just took him. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You know, the Bible says that I can seek God. When I was a pagan, I could seek God. He tells me that. I have to, first of all, acknowledge that he is, that he exists. And then I have to, as it says, he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he wants to reward those who seek him. What does he want to reward us with? Forgiveness. Everlasting life, because we come to God and we say, oh, you're the God, you're the creator of the universe. We didn't just evolve. I'm going to answer to you someday. And we go to him by faith. We exist. We know you're our creator. And I want to ask your forgiveness. I want to turn away from my sin and rebellion. And then he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And we should tell people you can seek God. If you're not ready today, you better make it a priority to at least seek the truth and to know him. Take the helmet of salvation, verse 17. Again, everybody that goes into war, they don't leave their helmet behind. Satan wants to bash you over the head. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, the only offensive weapon, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. God doesn't want us to be, read this book by man. He wants the word of God to be on our lips to share with people the truth. Praying always with all power and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. Now the prayer. You know, when we wake up, we better be just not having our armor on, but actually spending that moment. Really, prayer is like, again, my son down in Oregon. It'd be like, instead of just going out the door, yeah, I remember we talked about this could be the stop. It's just to just have that time with God. God, going into battle today, maybe. What do you want me to do? Keep me alert. Help me to just trust in you, what you've told me to do. I know temptations could come my way. Satan could just cause something to happen at work. Somebody texts me something. Somebody sends me some picture or something. And anything could happen today that would just be another way that Satan is trying to get into that chink in my armor. And God, I just want to serve you. What do you think the prayer life was on the guys in Normandy invasion? You know, when they're getting ready for the front of their landing craft to go down. And they're looking at 50 cal machine gun bullets just flying down at them. Every single one of those guys praying. Because they know they're going into battle. They know this is do or die. They know they're going to get killed or they're going to live. And they're just, okay, you know, I'm ready. Got my clip. I got this. I'm okay. I'm ready for what happens when that brow goes down. And you're ready for war. For this, Ephesians 6:19, and for me, pray for me that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly, that I could continue to open my mouth boldly, even though I get run out of Philippi after being beat up, get run out of Thessalonica, not without being beat up, but run out, then to Berea, run out, get down to Athens and preach a service on Mars Hill, and people say, well, you know, maybe we'll listen to you, but then kind of run out of town there to get to Corinth, run out of Ephesus, you know, stoned in Lystra to death. He says, sir, please pray for me. I'll keep being bold with to open my mouth to tell people the truth. Known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. See, right now he's locked up in Rome in jail. This is a prison epistle to the Ephesians. I'm an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Knowing all the time, like he says in Corinthians letters, 2 Corinthians 4:3, even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whom the God of this age, Satan, is blinding them that they don't see the truth of the gospel coming in to them. So back to 1 Thessalonians 2:18. Therefore, we wanted to come to you, even I, Paul, time and again, but Satan hindered us. And Satan is trying to hinder us today. I'm sure the elites probably thought, we're going to do this COVID thing, and we're going to keep the corporate stuff open so they can get their billions of dollars. And those billions of dollars will be further used into the tech industries to enslave the masses. We're going to shut down all the mom-and-pop stores because we can't have those people because they're not our slaves. We can't enslave the people if we don't control the entire market of everything that people have to buy. And we have to shut down churches because those churches, they preach. For the few that are still preaching the truth of the gospel, you know, we need to shut them down because that's where they could wake people up to the truth, and they have to be shut down. And because then we can't make known the mystery of God. And so they tried. But you know what? They're beginning to realize that we are a thorn in their side. The truth is getting out. The narrative is being lost. We are restraining them. They didn't succeed completely. And they're probably worried about that. But we know from a very reliable source, 2 Thessalonians, that they don't have to worry about us much longer because God's going to take us home and we're going to stop restraining. Are you excited about that? Yeah. Therefore, we wanted to come to you, even I, Paul, time and again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope, our joy, our crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For you are our glory and joy, which is the title of today. The true trophy room. You know, the trophy room is not, you know, all the human trophies that people can gather. best tennis player, best football player, best this, best that, best whatever, all the stuff that people just, they live their life to go get in the Hall of Fame someday. You know what the Bible says about the Hall of Fame? It's going to be destroyed in the global earthquake in the end of days. And you know what else? You know what else history says? In a few years, nobody's going to care who's in the Hall of Fame. Nobody's going to care. And yet people are deceived by Satan. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual things in high places, to deceive the human minds of 7 billion, or how many billion people are there on the earth today? Yeah, close to that, I think. Right? Almost 8 billion people. 8 billion people are deceived by Satan to think this is all there is in life, and to just go after the pride of life, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and it's going to somehow work out when I die, because let's not even think about dying, because he wants us to be deceived into not thinking about that day. Satan is deceiving us. And then all the stuff we work for, it all becomes nothing. The only thing that becomes real is eternal life, and everybody that God used to get me saved, I'm their trophy. And everybody that you teach the Bible says they're a trophy to you. They're on the wall forever. You're going to be with Jesus because you armed yourself up, you trusted God, you believed the truth, you went and shared it with people because you actually believe this life is going to pass away in the lust thereof, but he that does the will of God abides forever. And you believe that, you took it out there, as Paul did, and he said, so, we rejoice you guys got saved. And you did so even under great opposition. And we'll conclude with this, Luke chapter 15, verse 6. Once again, not quite as far as we wanted, but it's Luke 15, 6. This is Jesus giving a parable about somebody who loses a sheep. Has a whole bunch of sheep in the flock, but one of them goes astray. It's lost. And when he comes home, so the shepherd goes after the lost sheep. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost. I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. And really the emphasis is not like there's people that are going to get to heaven because they're good people. It's just some people don't understand. You know, they get saved and they go, wow, you know, why do you spend so much time trying to go after that, you know, reincarnationist, God-hating, Christian-hating, foul-mouthed, punk sailor? Well, because he's lost. He knows he's lost. Or he doesn't know he's lost. But, you know, we go after whoever God would lead us to. And you know, what the scribes and Pharisees were saying, well, you know, that's a tax collector. If you're the Messiah, you're not going to care about a tax collector. You're not going to care about an adulterer. And Jesus goes, yeah, I do. I care about everybody that knows they're lost. I'm going to go tell everybody the truth. The truth is that everybody can be saved. Anybody can be saved. We were reminded of that yesterday. We were talking, you know, as much as I am so discouraged that Satan has deceived Dr. Anthony Fauci to truly be a genocidal murderer by his policies and his actions and his lies that he spread through this country. If he was right here, would I want to witness the gospel of Jesus Christ to him? I sure would. And there's something wrong with me if I wouldn't. If my mind were more in like, some of you got to take him out. I would be like the scribes and the Pharisees, because I don't want anybody to be taken out. Because as soon as they're taken, as soon as they're taken out, then they are going to find out, for real, how they were held accountable, going to be held accountable, for every person that they killed, maimed, and otherwise deceived, because they were wanting to maintain their power and their prestige and the highest paid American government worker and all this other stuff. That's all nothing. It's all meaningless. So, I was a lost sheep. I care about lost sheep. I care about you. And the encouragement here is, and we should all care about the lost sheep. They're out there. Most of them, as soon as you want to tell them about Jesus, they want to just bite. They got rabies, so they just bite you. But some of them aren't going to bite. And just let's reach out and minister to them with the armor of God and the love of God to tell them while there's still time. And if there's anybody here, I'm going to ask you, if there's anybody here today, you've spent your life till now in rebellion against God. That doesn't mean you're not a good person compared to other people. I mean, you don't want to give him the time of day. You don't think that he should be in charge of your life. You don't think that you're going to answer to him. If you want to repent of that and say, you know what, I have a creator and I messed up and I've been playing a fool. And I want to get right with God and what he's been saying and what Paul was saying and what the Word of God is saying. I want to ask for God's forgiveness. Then I want you to just raise your hand here today. Give you that opportunity. Don't do this very often. But just raise your hand. Oh, why do people see my hand? Who cares? Who cares? Because that's what God is saying. He's calling us to just worship him publicly, because that's what's going to happen when we stand before God. It's going to be by the words out of our mouth, we confess God to everlasting life. We deny him to everlasting damnation. Anybody? Okay, well, let's pray. And Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word, Lord. And I do pray that in these perilous times where Satan truly is sweeping the world with his lies and deceptions and found his disciples, Lord, now planted in high places of government and military and finance and in a way that, Lord, we truly see the near fulfillment of your scriptures that warned of such a day. A day and a time of Jacob's trouble. A time where evil is called good and good is called evil. And God, we see it, and we pray that you would help us to double down with the mission of studying to show ourselves approved, to rightly dividing your word, to share the truth with those that are lost, and to give us sensitive ears by the power of your spirit of who you would want us to talk to, and to be bold and to listen to that still small voice when you encourage us to take a stand in boldness, like Paul prayed for, that I would be bold, that we would truly listen to that Holy Spirit and just be bold and not care what the repercussions or the response is to the truth. And we thank you, Lord, for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's worship God in this song.
As gold and precious jewels. that again.
Refiner's fire, my heart's one desire is to be holy, set apart for you, Lord. I choose to be.
That's the kind of prayer that Paul was saying, you know. God, we want to be used. We want to be used by Him. I pray that that's truly in your heart, that all of us want to be used. God bless you. Keep you in His care. Hope you can make it tonight, 6 o'clock, for the evening service to see how close we're getting to the fulfillment of Scripture, prophetic word. And I'll put the two sets of handouts right here that you might want to grab if you want to be prepared for what could come in the hospital. God bless you. Keep you in His care.